Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, back with another solo mission to talk about the May 29th episode of Ring of Honor Wrestling, which I believe is episode 506. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. My son and I usually, well, we always put out a show on Saturdays, which is our main show where we talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT, Impact Wrestling, some wrestling trivia, some wrestling figure news, some news and rumors from the world of wrestling, as well as anything else that sort of comes up. So if you haven't checked out our main show on Saturday, I'd really appreciate it if you would do that. If you'd like to contact us, give us some feedback, criticism, whatever, just say hi. You can reach us at fnswrestling@gmail.com or fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. Or if you're one of the few people who listens to us on YouTube, feel free to leave something in the comments there. I always get back to everybody that reaches out to us. Even if it's negative, I still sort of reply thanking for the listen. So I would love to hear from any of you on your thoughts on this, because I do see through the stats that there are a bunch of people that listen to these solo missions of me talking ROH. So that's why I've decided to sort of keep doing them. When I started, I wasn't sure, but it seems like people are listening and I've gotten a little bit of feedback. Would love to hear some more. So I'm trying to just keep carving out a bit of time on my Mondays to talk about some Ring of Honor. And I think that that is probably what we should start to do now. So let's do that and take a look at the May 29th episode of Ring of Honor Wrestling. So this episode begins with highlights from last week's main event, where the Foundation, which was Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams, defeated OGK, Mike Bennett, and Matt Taven to retain the ROH World Tag Team Championships. So we're greeted by Quinn McKay, who introduces Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams hot off their win against the OGK. So I believe this was taken last week right after their match, and they're just presenting it to us before the show starts this week. So Quinn praises the match, asks the Foundation what they're thinking. Tracy Williams speaks. He puts over OGK, says that the OGK still have everything it takes, and that the OGK gave them the fight of their lives. He respects OGK for putting in such a great performance while not even 100% healthy. He thanks them for the match and says that down the road, when OGK are healthy, they'll face them again. He goes on to say that even though the match was great, it wasn't pure. They have spoken to the ROH authorities, and from now on, their tag titles will be defended in pure matches only. They are the Foundation, and they will rebuild brick by brick. This was a good promo overall. It was Tracy Williams for 99% of it. Rhett Titus, all he said was the brick by brick part at the very end. But I was a bit confused by the tone of it, despite kind of liking the promo. Tracy starts out sounding like 100% babyface, right? By putting over his opponents and praising them for carrying on in the match, even though Taven's ankle had been attacked beforehand viciously and he still, you know, took part in the match. So very much babyface there, even to the point of suggesting another match with them when they are healthy, which is clearly a big babyface move. Then he sort of, to me, the tone shifts and he almost sounds like a heel, because basically what he's saying there is that they will only wrestle matches when it's their specific type of match from now on, right? So they're not going to wrestle for the titles unless it's the exact type of match they want. So it's kind of like they got pushed to the limit in a regular match, saw that they could have lost their titles to OGK, and are sort of panicking and now sort of want to increase their chances of retaining these titles by only wrestling the type of match that favors them, that they prefer, which is the pure wrestling style. And if you're not an ROH viewer, and you're relying on me to summarize, the pure style basically means you only get so many rope breaks, you get three, you only get one closed fist, there can't be any outside interference by anyone or those people are fired immediately, etc. So it's supposed to be the classic wrestling without any sort of extras to it, and this is what they are now insisting all their matches must be. So I am somewhat confused, but it doesn't really bother me. It's sort of creating this shade of gray where the Foundation are right now, and I'm kind of left to wonder, is this the start of them becoming a bit more heel? Is there maybe one or two members of the faction that sort of have different views than the others? But anyways, it seems like a heel move to me to say, we almost lost that match, so from now on, we're only fighting in matches that we really want to fight and under rules that we prefer. So again, a bit confused by the promo. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm not sure where it's leading, but I'm interested. So that's a good thing, I guess. We then shift to the present, and Quinn is at her desk as she always is at the beginning of the show, unless she's been wrestling Angelina Love, so she's back. from that foray into wrestling. She welcomes us as she always does. And she tells us that there will be two big matches today on the show. So again, sometimes there's three, sometimes there's two. We're back to two today. She starts out by telling us the main event will be an 8-man tag team match between the Foundation and the sort of newly formed faction Violence Unlimited, which is Brody King, Tony Deppen, Homicide, and Chris Dickinson. So the Foundation still have a lot of gold, the Pure and Tag Team Championships, and Violence Unlimited are on a mission to obtain gold and to have Violence dominate ROH. So this is Brody King speaking for the most of this. But first, that's not Brody King. It's still Quinn McKay talking. I don't know. I jumped ahead to a promo there for some reason. I apologize. It's Quinn telling us that. But first, we're going to get LSG versus Joe Keys, as they were the two final competitors in the Rankings Battle Royal that took place. I think it was a couple weeks ago. So it was for any competitors who are not ranked in any division. Because again, if you're not familiar with ROH, they have the main championship division, they have the television division, and they have the pure division. So a bunch of wrestlers not ranked in any division took place in a battle royal, with the final two facing off in this match. And then the winner of this match gets to be ranked in the division of their choosing, which is either the television or the pure division. So the main championship is not that sort of title picture you can't get in from this match, but you can choose to either compete in the television or the pure division, and you will be ranked. I assume that means you'll be ranked at the bottom, which would be number 5, but they never specify. They just say you will actually earn a ranking. So that's what we're getting today, and we're going to move right into the first match, which is Joe Keys versus LSG. And so for this show, they're back to their style of the promos happen as the characters, the wrestlers entering the ring. They sort of cut to a little inset promo that they recorded earlier, obviously. So that's what's happening on all the matches today. So we're going to get Joe Keys, LSG. Just on a personal note, I kind of have liked Joe Keys in the limited time I've seen him so far. He's been presented as a fairly generic, obviously, because he's from their dojo and they kind of treat it like young boys in Japan, where you're basically low man on the seniority scale, sort of. So you're just there to learn and do things and not really stand out. So it's you're wearing the plain black tights. You're just sort of not to be a showman, really, I guess, at this point. It's just more you're learning to wrestle first. So it's intentional that he doesn't have a lot of personality yet, but I've been sort of impressed with him in the ring and just his look and the way he presents himself. So he speaks and he tells us that his loss to Gresham moved him to the bottom of the barrel, and winning this match will allow him to climb out and get ranked where he belongs. So this was a short, very straightforward, generic promo. And I don't mean generic bad. Sometimes you have to have generic. Not everybody can be MJF, right? And just cutting world beater promo. So this was fine. I thought a fine little pre-match promo. We get his motivations. He feels like he had a chance to kind of make a case for himself. He didn't. And now he's sort of starting over with this match. So I thought that was a fine little promo. LSG then has his entrance and he gets a little chance to speak as well. And he says that everyone talks about the future, but he and Joe Keys are the present. He says he respects Joe Keys, how hard he works, but LSG will win this match and be launched into his rightful place among the stars. He refers to himself as the ace from space, and he is the now. This was fine. I'm not a big fan of the ace from space nickname he's trying to get for himself here. I wouldn't say it's my favorite nickname, but it's fine, I guess. My one issue with these promos, specifically with these two guys, is going into this match, I don't have any idea who the heel or the babyface is. And I know that's being a little nitpicky, but I do like to know that. I like to know how they're trying to make me feel going into a match, so I can sort of establish, since I'm reviewing it, right, if they're effective at that or not. This match, I really don't know who's the babyface, who's the heel heading into it, so hopefully I will as the match goes on. But we'll find out now, because let's talk about the actual match as it starts. The code of honor is adhered to. They shake hands before it begins. Then we get some technical wrestling with holds and counters to start here. It transitions into a bit of rope running by each man and some holds and moves avoided by each of them. So they kind of end up standing together in the middle of the ring, a little bit of a high five out of respect, because neither man can sort of gain the advantage on the other at this point. So that's not helping me determine a heel or baby face either at this point. But we get no clean break by Keys as he chops LSG in the corner. So then I'm thinking, okay, so he's going to work heel. He's not doing a clean break there. That's my first indication, I guess. But then LSG follows suit and does the exact same thing, but with more chops involved. So again, I'm back to not entirely knowing what the dynamic here is between these two guys. We get a basement dropkick and a corner strike by LSG. LSG flips up, but gets caught by Keys in sort of an impressive show of strength here by Keys. He's not a big guy by like WWE standards, but he's a big guy by ROH standards, and he really does look strong here catching him, and he sort of turns this into a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker heading into a commercial break. Then we come back, and Keys is in control of LSG, is stretching his arms behind his back. There's a brief reversal before a counter by Keys into a deadlift German suplex. Keys is then looking for a Boston Crab. LSG fights out, hits a back elbow and a springboard forearm. We get what I think was a sliding cravat driver by LSG for a two count, and then he starts to target Keys' neck at this point. He applies another cravat, but Keys picks up LSG and slams him to the mat to break the hold. We get one of LSG's signature moves is called the Rocket by Baby, and then he transitions into a Muda Lock, and Keys eventually gets to the ropes from that submission. More strength shown by Keys here. He kind of rolls through a roll-up, and it picks up LSG for a vertical suplex, which again looked pretty impressive to just sort of deadlift this guy. Keys is a big, strong kid for sure. We get a brief battle on the mat before LSG pins Keys with a crucifix, and LSG earns the spot in the rankings of either the TV or the Pure division. So I did enjoy the match. I just wish I cared more about either of these men coming into it, right? Because the match itself was fine. I just wanted to be more interested in the story in them before it started. If it were me, I probably would have had Keys pick up the win. I find him far more intriguing than LSG. LSG's a veteran. He's been with ROH before. I feel like we know what we have with him. He's fine, but I don't find him anything spectacular. Whereas Keys, on the other hand, intentionally, because of this young boy and dojo thing, doesn't have a character so far, but he's impressed me. He showcased some major power here, and I would have been much more interested in seeing him win this and finding out a bit more about him and maybe developing him as a character and a performer for them. To be honest, I was also kind of annoyed by never really knowing who the face and heel were in this match. It never became clear to me, even at the end. It just creates an awkward feeling, right? So while I did like the in-ring action here, I thought it was a very solid match. I had some issues with some other minor things that took place along the way. So Quinn then catches LSG backstage right after the match, reminds him that he has to make a decision about which division he wants to be ranked in. LSG says he's thought about it since he got back to Ring of Honor, and he puts over Joe Keys here and the foundation a little bit, so he announces that he is joining the Pure division. We're then shown a recap of the Silas Young, Josh Woods situation, where Silas Young turned on Woods, laid him out with a chair as Woods was facing Dalton Castle, and then he sort of stood over Woods in the ring and was lecturing him about being a real man, as Silas Young was Josh Woods' mentor. And the story is that Josh is a legit fighter from the world of MMA and whatnot, and that Silas has been trying to show him the ways of professional wrestling, and that you can't just rely on your brute strength and your technical ability, that there's certain, I would call them, shortcuts and things he should be doing to really earn wins, and that Woods is sort of not doing that. He's trying to just rely on his ability and his strength and stuff. And then they also had a match against each other where Young was dominated for most of it, but he ended up winning by using the ropes to help him earn a pinfall, as an exact example of the types of things he thinks Josh Woods should be doing, but Josh Woods isn't doing. So it was a kind of a cool part of the story where Silas Young beat Woods by using a move that Woods wouldn't do himself, kind of driving that point home that you should be taking these shortcuts and doing these things available to you. So Quinn talks to Silas Young and says Young beat his protege, but he cheated to do it, which is true. Young asks if Quinn's a reporter or a Josh Woods fanboy, as almost anyone backstage would call what he did a veteran move trying to educate somebody. Woods shows up, interrupts, says that Young could never beat him without cheating, and Young calmly says that in the record books, it'll show a win for Silas Young, right? Like, I kind of like that heel response, basically. Whatever, say whatever you want, man. According to the record books, I beat you. I have a win, you have a loss, say whatever you want after that. Young says that he can pin or submit Woods in a pure rules match if that's what it takes, and Woods finds this funny, and he laughs as he walks off. We find out that the match is in fact made official for next week, and Quinn is standing there with a shocked look on her face. So I do like this little segment, and I like this storyline in general. For I have three reasons I quite like it. One, Silas Young is pretty much the perfect person to pull off this grizzled veteran, even just looking at him. He's been in ROH forever. He does look like just a grizzled veteran. The man's man is his gimmick, the last man's man, and he looks the part perfectly. So I really like that. This character choice, it just fits him to a T, I think. I also like Josh Woods in this role as the protege who kind of is reluctant to embrace all the shortcuts and corner cutting and things like that. And to be honest, I haven't always liked what Josh Woods has done. So I do like that I'm liking him in this role right now. It also creates a cool way to use a pure rules match, I think. So one guy is known as a cheater, and he's in fact won by cheating. So now we're going to move it to a match where, in theory at least, you can't cheat. So I think that's a good use of a pure rules match. It's kind of like making, you know, when there's been too much interference and too much whatever, you go to a steel cage match to keep people out. Well, now in ROH, they can simply, if cheating is rampant and somebody's got a major advantage, you can schedule a pure rules match. That's tough to say a lot somehow, where you can really have, in theory, no cheating involved. So I quite like this segment, actually. It might have been my highlight of the show, if I'm being honest. So I quite liked it. We then get a quick video hype package for Survival of the Fittest tournament that's starting next week. So I had kind of forgotten the details of this tournament, so I looked it up. And basically, it's wrestlers compete, at least in the past, in a variety of qualifying matches, usually either a singles or could be a tag match, with the winner of each advancing to an elimination match where the last remaining competitor would be deemed the Survival of the Fittest winner and receive a future ROH World Championship match. So I do assume that's how this is happening this time as well, the same as previous ones. And I personally really like a good tournament, so I'm excited on that front. I'm a little nervous because ROH tends, and it's just a personal preference, a lot of people might prefer it. I really hope that they're still going to include storylines and angles woven into this tournament, and that it's not just strictly straight up wrestling, because again, I talked about it, I think, last week. It's what I thought I wanted when I got the pure division, but it turns out I don't. I do need some sort of angles, some sort of stories, and not just the in-ring action. So I'm hoping this tournament provides me with all of that. But we'll see, I guess. The first match is actually next week. They announce at the end of the show that there will be a round one match next week already. So that's kind of cool. Something to look forward to. We then get Brody King, and he's speaking with the rest of Violence Unlimited with him, sort of in the standing beside him, I guess. So he talks about the foundation, tries to remember the line, you either die a hero or live long enough to become, but he can't remember the rest and says it doesn't matter anyway, since the foundation will just die. Dickinson then gets a chance to speak. He says he'll win in every type of match, mentions street fights, and then turns it over to Homicide. Homicide says he's from Brooklyn while the foundation are from the suburbs. He laughs at the foundation and calls them a joke. Deppin takes his turn, says there's violence in honor, and these guys are violent people. Foundation should get ready for real violence, and they don't believe in the foundation's rules. I thought this promo was fine. If I really were to break it down, I thought Brody Lee did a good job. Homicide did not do a good job. He didn't sound good here to me at all. And the other two were somewhere in between, like they were fine. Dickinson's thing is intensity, so he was fine, but I thought Lee did the best job here. The foundation then get a chance to reply right away with a promo of their own. Lethal says it was only a matter of time before this match got signed. While Brody was on vacation, the foundation have been rebuilding, brick by brick, and now that King is back, he found like-minded people to sort of join him. He questions Deppin for forsaking the pure division, since Deppin did compete in the pure division when he first got here, and joining Violence Unlimited. He knows nothing about Dickinson, which I thought was kind of a funny insult, like, I don't even know enough about you to say anything, so I thought that was kind of funny. But that works in Dickinson's favor, he says. Homicide was the biggest bully in the industry when Lethal started, but now Lethal's a grown man, and he would like to see Homicide try to bully him now. Tonight, Violence Unlimited are outmatched, and we'll see how long they can hang with the foundation, the best wrestlers in the world. So Lethal was the only one that spoke here. I thought he did a fine job. He was using his more sincere tone of voice, which I much prefer to when he puts on his like affected, trying really hard to be cute sort of thing that I feel like he's clearly putting something on, and it sort of takes me out of a bunch of his promos. I thought this one was good. This was his more sincere, serious tone. So I liked it a little better than usual. So that takes us right into the main event, which is in fact the Foundation versus Violence Unlimited in an 8-man tag match. And we learn that Kenny King is joining the commentary team on behalf of LFI, basically says that they have an interest in this and he has every right to be there sort of thing as his explanation. And I forgot, this can't be a good sign, I actually forgot when Violence Unlimited came out that Tony Deppin is the TV champion. So that's something I forgot. That can't be a good thing, and that might be just me, but I had forgotten he won the TV championship. So these two groups do adhere to the code of honor somewhat surprisingly, but there's obviously tensions there as they're all close together in the ring, and they sort of linger there. It looks like some sort of brawl might break out, but the ref's trying to get control, and cooler heads do end up prevailing here. So Deppen and Williams start out. They start out quite quickly. Deppen ends up taking a bunch of strikes in the corner before landing a boot to Williams. Williams did look super aggressive to start here. Deppen ends up tagging in Homicide. Homicide wants Jay Lethal. Lethal obliges, and then Homicide, being the heel that he is, immediately tags out to Dickinson. So there is sort of this building storyline of Homicide and Jay Lethal, it seems, coming out of this match. And Homicide just sort of toying with Lethal and getting him upset and sort of hoping to get him off his game by doing this. And we head to a commercial here, and just adding in for your information, every single commercial break where I watch ROH starts with that Ric Flair and sometimes Eli Drake, now known as LA Knight, commercials for car insurance. And it's a very grating and annoying commercial, and it's literally every break. So I just thought I'd share that with you listeners. We come back and there's a big forearm by Dickinson as Lethal tries to break clean. Chops by Lethal, no sold by Dickinson, who then slaps him. We get a strike exchange. Lethal's on fire, leading to a dropkick, sending Dickinson to the floor. Homicide attacks Lethal, and all the men enter the ring as the ref again tries to regain control. Kenny calls out the Foundation because leaving your corner without being tagged is illegal. I agree with him. He's interestingly enough pointing out some hypocrisy in the Foundation here, right? I mean, technically, they're just responding to Violence Unlimited, but they are still not following the rules, which they're so fond of. Cooler heads do prevail. Gresham and Homicide end up sort of in the ring together. Homicide continues to taunt Jay Lethal, gets under Lethal's skin to the point where he drops to the floor, walks away briefly, and then Titus has to follow him to sort of calm him down and get his head readjusted here and refocused. Gresham dominates Homicide on the mat, and Homicide is furious by this as Gresham is just spinning around on him on his back sort of thing, showing his prowess in technical wrestling. Gresham continues, he taunts Homicide. Homicide takes control with strikes and an elbow drop before biting Gresham's fingers. I have to say I wasn't super impressed with Homicide in this match either. His, like, 90% of his offense was super basic stuff. I don't know if he just hasn't aged well or he didn't have a chance to get this stuff in, but I don't think he looked great in this match. Anyways, we get a blind tag to Rhett Titus. He takes control of Homicide with a splash. Body slam to Homicide. Williams tags in and hits a scoop slam. We get this theme of body slams for some reason here. Lethal gets his chance with Homicide, and he slams Lethal again. After a commercial, Lee runs over Gresham with a clothesline before landing heavy chops. We get another body slam, and Deppen tags in and hits his own body slam and some stomps. I'm questioning why all the body slams at this point, but okay. Dickinson's in for a power slam, so he upgrades the body slam to a power slam for his. Single leg crab as Homicide tags back in. Homicide selling his back, his lower back is injured, and he clotheslines Gresham. Suplex by Gresham, and he tags in Titus. Titus and King end up battling. Titus dropkicks him from behind, sending Lee into the turnbuckle. Dickinson then comes in and gets hit with clotheslines from Titus, then a power slam. Deppen's in next. His DDT attempt, is countered by Titus into a Northern Lights release suplex. I thought Titus probably got the best showing in this match, and this little flurry and segment part of the match was probably his best here. We get a belly-to-belly by Titus to Deppen before running boots to Lee and a diving knee to the back. Quite a nice sequence for Titus, as I was saying there. He took out three quarters of the opposing heel team here. After the final commercial break, Titus and Lethal try to take out Brody King, but he fights them off. Williams joins in to make it a three-on-one, which I made a note of. It doesn't seem very pure to me that you're all three of you are ganging up on one guy, but maybe this is the Foundation sort of cracking a little bit. No pun intended. Lethal and Williams hold Lee on their shoulders. Titus hits another dropkick as the other two slam Lee to the mat. All eight are in the ring now brawling. Dickinson hits a big running Death Valley driver to Williams that I thought looked awesome. Homicide hits a cannonball dive to the outside, taking out Rhett Titus and Jonathan Gresham on the floor. We get super kicks to Brody Lee by Lethal. Lethal takes a minute to knock Homicide off the apron as he was sort of climbing back up, and he turns back around right into Lee, a sick-looking torture rack into a violent-looking pile driver. For the three count, and Violence Unlimited are victorious. They surround Lethal as his teammates sort of stand on the apron and slowly try to get into the ring. They end up replaying the final move several times because it did look really cool, and the Foundation eventually get Lethal out of the ring and head up the ramp as the heels stand tall in the ring. This was a pretty good match. I thought it was a solid main event. The finishing move to end was sweet, and I did not mind watching it 3 or 4 times. However, they replayed it. It looked awesome. And we did get a story developing sort of between Lethal and Homicide, it looks like. I thought Rhett Titus looked really good for a stretch. He might have looked the best in this. Homicide did almost exclusively basic offense, as I said before, and nobody else really stood out because there were so many people. None of them got a ton of time on offense, right? So it was really just a solid main event. Not a ton of highlights, if I'm being honest, from it. The finishing move for sure is a highlight. I think Titus's flurry was really good. Other than that, just a solidly worked match by a bunch of guys who know how to wrestle. I think it was the right choice to have Violence Unlimited win. They're a new faction. They sort of need to get some traction here. And it wasn't a pure match, which is the foundation specialty. So it kind of makes sense that the more violent, willing to cheat team would win in a regular match. And I don't know if they'll work a pure rules match down the road or whatever. But I did like the outcome from this. Violence Unlimited being the new faction needs to start getting some traction, getting some wins under their belt. So they did that here. So the show ends officially with graphics previewing next week's matches. So we learned that we're going to get Rey Oris versus Flamita in a Survival of the Fittest round one match, which should be awesome. I'm looking forward to that. And then we will get the culmination, maybe the culmination, I guess I don't know for sure, of the feud between Josh Woods and Silas Young as they will face off in a pure rules match. So there's a couple matches already for next week. That might be the entire show. Sometimes they'll have a third match, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the show. So that sounds like a pretty good show to me. Oris Flamita should be really fun. So overall, this show, I would say, was good, but not a great episode of Ring of Honor. Both of the matches were good. The opener contained two characters I'm not super into. My preferred winner of that match also lost, but at least there were stakes, right? They found a way with some lower card people to have stakes. It was for ranking in a division of their choosing, so I did like that. The main event was a good match as well, but no one really got too much time or got focused on to a huge degree, so all 8 men had to get their time in a TV match, so there wasn't a lot of attention paid to any man specifically. But again, a well-worked match, an entertaining match, nothing really I disliked. The LSG and Joe Keys promos were straightforward, and they were promos similar, I guess, straightforward by the main event participants as well. So no real standout promos there, but nothing bad either. I'm not trying to say sometimes straightforward and simple is what you need, right? It can't have everything be amazing or it sort of loses all meaning. So just standard straightforward promos. I did prefer, my favorite promo obviously was the Woods Silas Young as it furthered their angle, and I'm interested in it, and both guys seem really well suited for the role they're playing, and I'm really happy to be liking Josh Woods because a lot of people love this guy and I kind of wasn't seeing it, but with this interaction with Silas Young lately, I'm quite enjoying it. So that was probably my favorite part on the show, if I'm being honest. I guess to wrap up, I would say the show wasn't a chore to watch or a waste of time by any means, but there's also nothing that I would tell you to rush out and see, which is always my hope, right? When I do these shows, I just want to be like, oh man, you got to go see this match or this promo or whatever. Because I feel like not a lot of people listening to this, but some of the people that are listening to this are sort of using me to recap and tell them what happened because they might not be watching it themselves. So there's nothing I would go out of my way to find this week, which doesn't make me happy to tell you, but it still wasn't a bad show. So if you want to check it out, feel free. You can find it for free all over the place. And yeah, so a B-level show for me. So good, but nothing great. Just a solid show, which I'm happy to say because there have been times before the reboot where Ring of Honor was absolutely unwatchable for me. So I'm glad to be sort of back to watching it. Again, it's just an hour show. It's really quick. So yeah, I think that is going to wrap it up. I can say that there are plans for my son and I to review Double or Nothing from AEW. We watched it last night, so I'm hoping we can get around to that maybe even today. So we might be a 2-podcast day for FNS Wrestling, which would be, I think, a first time for us. So if you like what you hear here, interesting. If you like what you hear right now, you can check out our future podcasts, our past podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're all over the place. So please check us out. Leave a comment would be awesome. Any sort of feedback would be appreciated. So keep an eye out for our Double or Nothing review. Should be out in the next, possibly today or tomorrow. We'd appreciate a listen on that as well. So thanks to all of you for spending any time listening to me and or my son. Any time you do during the week, we really appreciate it. And we hope to see you for sure back on Saturday for episode 46 of our main show. And until then, take care.